blessed, that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over
as you're being seated, those that will come join us at the altar for prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to get up here and see another day, Lord. We just ask now you add your blessings to this service, Lord, that you'll just anoint us with your Holy Spirit, Father, in the things that we say, the songs that we sing. And God, that you'll just let us search our hearts and find meaning in everything that we do today. And pray for those who are sick and unable to be here. Just pray your healing hand on them. And Father God, for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, we just pray for comfort and peace for them. And for those who are traveling, pray for safety for them, Lord. And we just give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. All God's children said, amen. Amen.
This morning we've got a special treat. Becca Thiel is going to sing a hymn for us this morning, and let's keep her in our prayers as she sings.
Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby
Thank you so much, Becca. Now let's all stand for our offertory hymn, page 188. It came upon the midnight clear. We'll sing first, second, and last verse. Now let's all stand as we sing Majesty, page 297. Our choir comes down, please greet each other in God's love.
Thank you. So we're looking. Good morning, everyone. We had just a little moment of panic there. We were fixing to light the Advent candle, but we did not have anything to light it with. But we have resolved that problem now, so we're ready to go. I'm going to ask Rose and Sky if they'll come up here. Some of our youth are going to light the Advent candle today. So we appreciate them being pressed into service this morning. I'm going to be honest with you, I had this down there last week. Didn't think a thing about it until I opened up the bulletin and saw the youth of my Advent candle. That's why I scurried out of here and ran downstairs in the hope and prayer that this was still there. So it was. So we are going to begin as we light the third candle of the Advent candle now.
Jesus is coming, shout for joy. Joy is the word we see and hear everywhere at Christmas. Joy to the world is the message of the season. Joy is the theme of this day. 2 weeks ago, we lit the prophecy candle and remembered those who first spoke the promise of the coming child. Last week we lit the Bethlehem candle, a symbol of the preparations being made to receive and cradle the Christ child. The third candle on the Advent wreath is called the Shepherd's Candle. It remembers the first in a long line of people who joyfully shared the good news of the Savior's birth. The candle is a different color, reminding us that our period of waiting is half over.
And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the dead hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me."
As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'"
Let us pray. Dear God, with joy and praise, we acknowledge the signs that your kingdom has come in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the forgiveness of sin. We rejoice that you have made us new creatures in Christ. With joy, we commit ourselves to the proclamation of the good news of great joy. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment we've all been waiting for. We have waited eagerly for this moment for a month now.
I'm sorry. I just have to give him a big boost up, okay? At this time, we're going to hear from Austin and Dylan and Josh. And they're going to sing, and they promised us they're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? That's all we can ask for, amen? No, I heard them. They sounded really good when they were practicing this morning. So without further ado, let's get them up here and give them a round of applause.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. World affords today than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Becca did a wonderful job with Mary, Did You Know? That's a beautiful song, and you did a great job with it. And guys, y'all did great. I just appreciate the willingness to serve, amen? That's the important thing, is to be willing to get up and serve and do things that are sometimes uncomfortable for us, but you know what? We serve a God who gives us comfort, amen? And if we'll just continue to serve him and believe in him, he'll continue to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. How many of you glad you're in God's house today? Amen. God is good. And all the time. Okay, we got to get better at that. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. God's been very good to me. I know he's been great to some of you all as well. And just like their song said, I would rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. I'd rather have him than wealth untold, riches. Because you know what? When you have him, you got everything you need. Amen. You don't need anything else when you know Jesus. We're going to look today. The title of the sermon today is called The Journey to Bethlehem. Now, just to kind of recap things a little bit. We talked about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, telling her that she was going to give birth to the Christ child. We also, last week, talked about the angel of the Lord visiting Joseph and telling him, once he had found out that Mary was going to have Jesus, not to run off and divorce her like he had considered doing, but to go ahead and get married to her, that everything was going to be okay. Isn't it great to hear that small, comforting voice of God telling you, hey, it's going to be okay? That's a great thing to hear, especially when you're confused and you don't know where to go and you don't know what to do. Listen for that small voice, and God will always tell you and guide you in the right direction. If you believe that, say amen. Guys, I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God who loved us enough that he sent his son into this world as a sacrifice for us. That was the whole purpose of this thing. So I'm going to ask those of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor and reverence of reading God's word. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 2 in the book of Luke. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Father God, we just ask now in the next few minutes you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Let nothing I say be about me, empty myself of me, and let it be about you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, last week we talked about Joseph being a just man. In the verse where God calls Joseph a just man, it appears that Joseph is a just man because he was unwilling to put her to shame. Talking about his espoused wife, Mary. Now you got to understand, they were still in their engagement period here. It'd be a while longer before they would actually be married, but you might as well say they were married at this point in time. Now, why would Joseph be unwilling to put Mary to shame? Let's look at that for just a minute, because this is all part of the journey here. The journey to Bethlehem had some bumps in it. There were some things that came up here. Well, I can think of only one reason. That is because he loved her. You know, husbands should love their wives as Christ loves the church. And he gave his life for her. That's what God's commanded us to do, husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, that's a big command, isn't it? I mean, what that's saying is Christ loved the church so much he was willing to die for it on our behalf. Husbands, that's the way we got to love our wives. And that's the way that Joseph felt toward Mary. He cared for her. Although he believes she's brought shame on her family, her God and him, he still didn't want to hurt her. When it comes to dealing with immorality, Christians can often fall into one of two traps, guys. When it comes to dealing with immorality, we can fall into one of two traps. Number one, we can overlook sin because it's just too complicated to deal with. We can just look the other way. Guys, that is why the world we live in today is in the shape it's in. Because too many believers have looked the other way and not tried to help someone address issues that were going on in their lives. I really believe that if we as believers would first of all help keep each other accountable, then we could take that out into this lost and dying world we live in. If you believe that, say amen. Guys, I believe. Oh, that's weak. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Come on. Let's get a little spirit about us today. Amen. Y'all are like, amen. Okay. Whatever you say, preacher. Amen. All right. I'm not saying it. God's saying it. Amen. So, guys, listen to me. We got to first be accountable to each other. You know, God's called us to be accountable to one another as believers first. We can't hold the world accountable. You know why? Because they don't know Jesus. Until you get to know Jesus, you cannot really hold them accountable for what they do. People in the world are going to continue to act like what? The world. Don't be disappointed by it. Don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised if your neighbor's over there cussing his friend out. Don't be surprised if your neighbor's over there stumbling around drunk. Don't be surprised if all kind of other things are going on. If they don't know Jesus, they don't know any better. Don't be mad and upset and disappointed about it. But if they're believers in Christ, we are to be responsible to one another. That's why churches get in the shape they're in. We turn our backs on obvious sin that's going on within the body of believers. And that's one of the things that we need to look at here. You can either overlook that and just Turn the other way. Oh, it's easier just to not even fool. How many times have you heard somebody say this? Oh, well, I'd rather just say forget about it than even fool with that. That's just not going to work. That's going to take too much effort. Guys, let me tell you something. That's why we get in the messes we get in. We think it takes too much effort. It doesn't take too much effort. It's just that we don't want to be faced with a situation where someone may get upset with us. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I threw that out the window a long time ago. Being a pastor, I know that people are going to get upset with me sometimes. You know why? Because I've got to help hold this congregation accountable. Amen. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I'm going to continue to do what I believe is right. And sometimes it means I may be going out that road by myself. But you know what? I'm going to travel the road that God has marked out for me, and I'm going to continue to do it till the day I die. And that's what Joseph was doing here. He was just being obedient to God. Now, the second thing we can do is we can confront sin and give the person the opportunity to repent and move on with their lives. Or the Bible says biblically, if they refuse to change, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13... that we should get away from these ungodly people. We should separate ourselves away. The Bible even says in verse 13 that we ought not even eat with them. Now I want you to understand, that's not talking about worldly people. That's talking about people who proclaim to know Jesus as their Savior who are not living their life for Him. We shouldn't even associate with them. You know why? Because when we associate with someone who says they're a believer, but who is doing things to the contrary, we are mocking the name of Jesus. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 speaks clearly about that. Think about that, believers. How many times do you get involved with somebody that you know is not doing what God wants them to do, but yet you continue to eat with them, to fellowship with them, to be a part of them? The Bible says we got to separate away from that. But guys, the Bible also says we serve a loving and forgiving God. Amen. How many of you are glad that Jesus forgives? Amen. I'm glad He forgives. You know why? Because if He didn't, I'd be in a mess. Because I've done a lot of things in my life I needed forgiving for. Amen. If you've ever done things in your life that you need to have been forgiven for, say amen. Amen. Guys, we all have. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm no exception to that. I have to apologize to people weekly for things I might have done that I shouldn't have done. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, my gosh, what's the preacher doing? Well, that's between me and God. Amen. No, I promise you, I'm not doing anything real bad. But, you know, then we start categorizing sin, so I don't want to get caught up in that one either. But, guys, let me just rest assured by saying this to you. I fall victim to the same things you guys do. It happens on a daily basis. But just people, while they do confront sin, aren't really happy about doing so. They'd much prefer the person that is caught in that sin repent of what they've done. They care what happens to the sinner, and they don't want to hurt the person who sinned. Now, in Joseph's eyes, he thought Mary had sinned, but he did not want to hurt her. It should never be our intention and ambition to wreak hurt and havoc and revenge on someone who has wronged us. How many of you have had somebody wrong you in your life? Raise your hand. Everybody in here, right? How many of you thought in your heart at first, man, I'm going to get back at them. I'm not going to take this lying down. Let me tell you something. As long as you have that attitude, God can never work through you the way He wants to. Let me say that again. If you have a vengeful spirit about you, God can never work through you the way He wants to work. You got to let go of that. You got to trust that God knows what He's doing, and He says, vengeance is mine. Don't repay evil for evil. As far as it's possible, live in peace with one another. That's what He's saying. Guys, they care about what happens to the sinner. They don't want to hurt the person who sinned. They just want them to change their lifestyle. They want them to change their lifestyle. That's the kind of righteousness that Joseph is modeling for us here. He didn't hate Mary. On the contrary, he loved her. That's why he wanted her to change the way she was living. He didn't want to drag her into the courts and have all this kind of stuff go on. Guys, he's not out to take revenge on Mary. I'm on this second bullet here now. He doesn't want to hurt her. He doesn't want to put her to shame. Some people just want to shame people.
They get pleasure in making somebody just feel terrible. Well, let me tell you something. My God's got something in store for those kind of people, amen? And I'm going to leave it up to Him to give it to them whenever the time is right. And that ought to be our attitude. You know what? God is going to bring everyone into accountability on that day. Jesus will be seated at the judgment seat of Christ and at the great white throne judgment, and He will judge all according to their deeds. And according to whether or not they've accepted Him as their Savior. It's going to happen. We're going to be in one of those two categories. I hope and pray everyone's at the judgment seat of Christ, because then you're going to find out what your heavenly reward is. If you're in the other one, it's not going to be good. Because that means you missed the mark. You did not know Jesus as your Savior. Guys, Joseph refused to hurt this woman he loved. And that's one of the reasons God calls Joseph a just man. Remember, we said just meant righteous. And a righteous person lives by what? What did we say they live by? Faith. Faith. He wasn't out to shame her. He refuses to hurt the one who he believes has hurt him. God says, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. That's from Romans chapter 12, verse 14 and verse 17 through 18. Let me go back to that first line of that scripture right there. God says, this ain't a preacher saying that. I want you to understand that. How many of you understand the difference between me and God? Amen. I'm just preaching God's word. He's saying it. God says, bless those who what? Persecute you. How many of you went out and just purposely invoked a blessing on someone's life who was persecuting you? It doesn't happen very often, does it? We don't make it a habit of going out and going up to the people that have persecuted us and say, oh, I wish you have a great day today. God loves you. We don't go out and do that, do we, a lot of times? But God says we ought to bless those who persecute us. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That's a tough pill to swallow, guys. Basically what that scripture's saying is, we still should treat those people with respect, even though they totally deserve to be disrespected. Now, there's people in this world that I really, in my heart, would like to disrespect. But if I'm going to follow the Word of God, I got to respect them. You know, I've told a lot of people this before. Some people I only love with the love of Jesus. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Some people I cannot physically love, but I can love them with God's love because I've been commanded to do that. And I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with that. God never said, oh, you must just show your love to this person who keeps knocking you down and keeps walking over you and keeps treating you like crap. Crap's okay to say in church, by the way, I think. If it's not, forgive me. Amen. Guys, if they're treating you bad, bless them. Don't persecute them. That's a hard pill to swallow. It's hard to live peaceably with everyone. But notice what that verse says. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So in other words, it's our responsibility to try to live peacefully with everybody. Our responsibility. It's not their responsibility, it's ours. To try to live peaceably with everyone. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Joseph was a man also of obedience. He was a man of obedience. Obedience to God. When the angel tells Joseph, take Mary as your wife, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He went right and did it. He didn't say, oh, God, this is going to make me look terrible. What do you mean, take this woman? She's already pregnant. I don't know who the daddy is. I can't do that. He didn't say that. He was obedient. He said, okay. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. That's from Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 through 25. When an angel told Joseph to leave for Egypt to avoid Herod, it didn't say, well, God, we're comfortable here. Why do we got to get up and leave? The Bible says he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And when the angel tells Joseph to come back to Israel because Herod had died, he didn't say, well, God, we're satisfied here. We're doing okay here. We don't need to leave from here. No, he didn't argue the point with God. What did he do? He was obedient. He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. That's obedience, folks. When God is speaking into your ear, be obedient. Rise and do what God's calling you to do. Don't sit there and say, God, this isn't right. I'm happy where I'm at. Let me tell you something. God's got a plan for every one of you. God's going to put you in the place He wants you to be if you'll be obedient to Him. And He's going to help you avoid a lot of heartache along the way if you'll do that. But now, I'm not going to guarantee you're not going to experience some things along the way, because you know what? That makes us grow. I know some of my dear friends right now are going through some things. Let me tell you something. God is going to bring you out of it, and He's going to make you better than you were before. If you believe that, say amen. You just got to trust Him. It's hard to trust Jesus when things are tough. It's hard to trust Jesus when you don't know where the next meal's coming from. It's hard to trust Him in those times, because you got to trust that He knows what He's doing. And He's going to take care of you if you're serving Him and giving Him your heart. I can promise you that. Over and over again, Joseph hears and he obeys. He makes no objections. He doesn't complain. He just does what he was told. You know why? That's because Joseph lived by faith. You see, the just live by faith. And that faith often defies reason, doesn't it? Sometimes that faith doesn't make sense, does it? Faith for the just is often just believing God because He said so. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of what I read in God's Word, it would have been hard for me to do what some of the people did in having that kind of faith in God, because I couldn't see it. We live in a temporal world. We live in a world where we are on time schedules and restraints. We got to understand that God knows no concept of time. With Him, 1,000 years is but a day. A day is as 1,000 years. So you see, God's going to work on His timetable. To believe God upon His bare word, for the just to live by faith, sometimes we got to accept something that defies logic. There are a lot of things I read in God's Word that defy logic, right? I mean, look at some of the things God has and Jesus commanded His disciples to do and some of the things He did. It defies logic. You can't reason them out. Logic said Mary had been unfaithful because virgins don't get pregnant, right? I've never heard tell of that except in God's Word. But Mary was pregnant with a baby that wasn't Joseph's, and there was shame attached to that. When the baby was born, someone was going to check the calendar and count out the months and realize something didn't add up here. Whoo, let me just share with y'all something right quick. When Vicky and I got married, by the way, be in prayer for her. She's got strep throat at home right now. Feeling a little bit better today, but she got it from yelling at me. Amen. And it's just gotten worse over the last few days. No, seriously, she's doing better though. But let me tell you something. When we got married, 10 months after we got married, our first son, Craig, was born. Now, don't you think me as a deacon, I was at First Baptist Greensboro at that time, was sweating a little bit? Because I knew if that baby had come before that 9th month was over, there was going to be some explaining to do. Amen. Thank God he was late. Amen. But actually, though, his due date was still beyond the 9-month period. So, but guys, that's what was going to happen here. This is some of Joseph's thinking here. Oh, I know they're going to be out here. They're going to be counting back on the calendar here. Somebody's going to check that. Because of that, if Joseph married Mary, he opened himself up to ridicule and shame. He opened himself up to that. If these people were going to do that, to ridicule and shame. That's why the angel tells him, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. And because Joseph was a just man, and look at the next part, lived by faith. When the angel said it's okay, what do you think Joseph did? He didn't say, oh, I ain't doing that. I'm going to have that on me. I don't want to be the one accused of all that. No. When the angel said it was okay, Joseph took her as his wife. rather than divorce her. He took her as his wife because he had God's promise that it was going to be okay. God has given us countless promises in His Word that say, it's going to be okay. Trust me. Have faith in me. Believe in me. And it's going to be okay. He's told us that countless times. He took her as his wife because he had God's promise it was going to be okay. But this angel doesn't have to tell Joseph, don't be afraid, like a lot of other angels when they introduce themselves to somebody. Notice how in the scripture oftentimes it says, don't be afraid. This angel didn't have to tell Joseph that, because apparently Joseph was not afraid of the angel. Why not? Well, I got to thinking about that. And I think Joseph was so tuned in with God that the angel's presence didn't even faze him. He was so in tune with God that didn't faze him. Joseph wasn't afraid because he was a just man. A man who heard, a man who believed, and a man who obeyed. Guys, if we hear and we believe and we obey, God's going to do great things with us. I promise you that. Now, one last point I want to mention today. The Bible doesn't say whether Joseph ever saw that star that guided the wise men as they were making this journey to Bethlehem. You see, they had to go back there because they were going to be taxed. Just like the government, isn't it? Call you back to your hometown where they can get some more tax money out of you. How many of you are thankful for taxes? I didn't see anybody raise their hand. Amen. They had to go back and they had to participate in a census where they could get a count of everybody that was supposed to be paying taxes. Guys, it's a necessary evil. We have to do that. It's part of who we are. And God's Word, by the way, let me just tell you something. These radical groups that say, we don't obey these laws. We obey God's laws. Let me tell you something. What God's Word says, we're to obey man's laws and God's laws. That means whatever man's laws say are wrong, it's wrong in God's eyes. That means whatever man's laws say we should do, it's right in God's eyes. Now, I don't agree with all of it, but I'm telling you, that's what God's Word says. So some of these others that come along trying to tell you otherwise, they're just not familiar with the Scripture. They don't understand what it said. The Bible doesn't say where Joseph ever saw that star that guided the wise men. After all, Joseph knew where Bethlehem was. He knew where Bethlehem was. He didn't need God's help finding it, but I still think that star might have been there even to guide them. This was a brilliant star. We're going to talk about that next week in the birth of Jesus, of how that star guided the wise. The wise men didn't know where to go, but they knew there was a star that was going to guide them there. Couldn't you see it when they got to that place, that big star, I believe, is almost just hovering right above that inn, that stable where Jesus was. The shepherds, when they came that night. You know, the wise men had seen it in the east. Their journey had to have taken a great deal of time to prepare for and to travel. Now, this was after Jesus' birth here for them. So it's conceivable that the star was visible even as Mary and Joseph started their journey to Bethlehem. Could have been there. But of course, Joseph didn't need to follow the star to Bethlehem. The reason he went there was because he had to. It was demanded by Rome that they go. And because he was of the house and lineage of David, he was called to go back to his area. Bethlehem is where they ended up. And guess what? That's where the Savior was born. Amen. I mean, if you're glad Jesus was born, say amen. Man, if he hadn't been born, we'd all be in trouble. We'd be in a lot of trouble right now. The reason he went there was because he had to. But I'm convinced that Joseph didn't look on that journey to Bethlehem as something to be dreaded. I don't think he was dreading it, even though he was going there to sign up to be taxed even more. I don't think he dreaded it. I doubt he thought it was a burden to go to that city. Why? Because he knew that baby was about to be born. And it was obvious the birth would be in Bethlehem. So I think the journey for him was one of expectation and love. He was expecting the birth of the Savior. And he loved his God and he loved his wife. And so he went expectantly and lovingly to that city. and love that he had for Mary, and also the love he had for his God, that played a part in it. The God he believed in and the God he followed to the manger. Think about that, guys. This journey was an interesting one. The journey that led them up to Bethlehem, and that's where we're going to end out today. Because next week, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus and just what it means for us and what it meant. Because you see, I don't think Mary really understood all of what was going to happen. She didn't understand just how great and powerful her son Jesus was going to be. She certainly didn't know that 30 some odd years after he was born, he's going to die a cruel death on a cross. For her to witness, could you imagine as a mother seeing your child hanging on that cross, dying, being beaten and spat upon, and there's not a thing you could do about it? That'd be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? We're going to talk about that next week. I want to leave you with this question this morning. I want you to think about it. Will you love God and follow Him where He asks you to go? Will you love God and follow Him where He asks you to go? Because I guarantee you something. He's got something in store for everybody in this room. Some of you think, oh, my journey's complete. Oh, I'm knocking on death's door. No, you're not. You're still here and you're still breathing. Your journey's not complete yet until you do take that final breath. God may still have a lot in store for a lot of us. Just because we're older does not mean God's done with our journey. But will you love Him and follow Him where He asks you to go? Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for the wonderful singing we've had today, for the willingness of our young people to stand up before You and glorify You through song. Lord, it did my heart so good to hear that. God, I just pray that we all can have that kind of love for You, that we're not ashamed to stand up and talk about You, and that we're not ashamed to help each other get back on the right path when we sometimes slip off of it. I just pray, God, for that. And I pray now, Lord, if there's anybody that needs to come up here to this altar and pray, if not for anything else, but just to thank You for what You have done in their lives. I just pray they'll come today. There are those that we need to pray for, Lord. We live in a lost and dying world. There are many people who don't know You right now, Lord, and I believe time is getting shorter by the minute before we're going to experience our final days here, Lord. I just pray, God, You'll give us that mission. You'll help us on our journey. And Lord, that You'll always make our pathways clear. Father, we ask it in Your name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn 206.
Hymn number 206. Let's stand and sing hymn number 206.